Welcome to the one, the only Run Boys Fantasy Network. This is a little bit new, what we got working out here. This is the very first episode of our new podcast series. We're probably going to do this maybe two or three times out of the week, moving forward from here on out. But this is the Run Report. Welcome to our brand new podcast series. This is not just going to be on YouTube and Sportscaster. We have this going on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. As, of course, always, it's your boy, the Admiral, Robbie J. And I'm here with my co-host for today. We're going to be, you know, rotating guests with this series. But we got Jake Miller, Run Boys Combat. What's good, Jake?
Nothing much, man.
Hell yeah.
Solid right now. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be an interesting podcast. We got some crazy fucking topics that we're gonna talk about. Be sure that you guys also join the discussion on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. We are everywhere at Run Boys, spell with the Z, N-E-T. We're gonna go ahead and dive right into it. Jake, you ready, bro? Cheers to me, cheers to you, all the Run Boys and girls, what it do, dilly dilly, bro. Cheers, guys. I forgot to run to the store before this podcast, so I gotta make this one beer last. Our first topic of discussion today, Joe Burrow cigar time. Just how good was Joe Burrow last night? And is he undoubtedly the 101 overall?
Yes. Oh, yeah. This year for sure. I don't, just for the fit, too, because taking out the fact that he's a hometown kid, they need a quarterback in Cincy. It doesn't really matter who it was at this point. So I don't see him being anywhere out of the discussion for the top quarterback. I don't see anyone going into it. And I don't think he's the best player on the board. I think Chase Young's the best player, but I do think the best fit for Cincy is definitely a quarterback.
See, you would think that I would feel otherwise, right? Being that I did interview 40 of the rookies out of this previous draft class from the 2019 class. And of course, we're 100 days out. We're officially 100 days out from the 2020 NFL draft. Cincinnati, you are on the clock. He's got to be the number 101 overall, just for the simple fact that, I mean, heading into tonight's game or to last night's game that we did call on the Run Boys Fantasy Network YouTube channel and Sportscaster channel, he had a 77% completion percentage. I mean, who is doing that? He's probably hands down the best college football player that we have seen in recent years, maybe even since Tim Tebow. With that being stated, you would think that I would not want them to go out and go and get another quarterback, having interviewed Ryan Finley, but I don't feel like that Ryan Finley is the answer, and I think he showed us that. I don't know if he's going to be developable type of quarterback or not. So you got to go with Burrow because you guys need something. Andy Dalton has been mediocre at best. It is plain and simple, just time to move on.
Also, it's very tricky in the debate of, I saw Lawrence versus Burrow today, like who you want long term. And it's one of those weird things in my mind where it was like, Burrow's a better college player, but I really do like that Lawrence is 3 years younger, and Burrow's age is a slight concern to me. He's older than Lamar Jackson, so
yep.
That's, he should dominate college football at his age and being in the game for so long. But he's definitely the number one. They're going for a quarterback. Quarterback's getting get propped up, and I think your Redskins will be very happy with Chase Young.
Yeah, I think that the Skins are going to be happy with Chase Young. Dwayne Haskins already having tweeted that one out. A little something also interested happened there. I mean, aside from of course Joe Burrow, last night during the celebration portion of the national championship, Odell Beckham Jr. had slid money to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, kind of, you know, dapped him up. And when he dapped him up, he had some money in his hands. The season's over. They can accept that, correct? I mean, they're good there.
Are they both juniors and prospects?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, if they go pro, they could definitely accept it. I mean, you can't take anything away from them, to my knowledge. But at the same time, if they have to come back, they really can't keep that money, and they probably already would be suspended just because you can't have that interaction. I mean, Dez Bryant was suspended for having dinner with Deion Sanders.
Exactly. So I just saw that pop up.
Suspension of, if they come back next year, for sure.
I just saw that pop up, and that was fairly interesting, to say the least, for me to find that out there. But nonetheless, you know, Joe Burrow, congrats. You are going to be the 101 Cincinnati. You're on the clock.
And a fun idea. What if Odell buying their shoes then sells them back to the College Football Hall of Fame? Because he bought all the players' shoes for like $200,000.
I did not know that. He should do that.
He's buying the shoes of certain players, yeah. So he could sell those back to the College Football Hall of Fame and just give the players the money.
We'll see what Odell does. I know that there's a fan that pretty much gotten gypped off the game-winning TD, Kyle Rudolph gloves, and that fan went ahead and said that they're gonna, you know, donate them to a charity of Kyle Rudolph's cause. Yeah. So hopefully,
Odell would definitely do something for charity with those. I mean, I don't think he'd keep the money, but it's just funny that you have Odell Beckham and some college players. They can now keep their stuff and sell it back when they're done. If they choose to. You can't just donate it to the College Football Hall of Fame, which I don't even know where that's at. I know they have one. I have no idea.
That one of our college football guys in the chat could probably answer that one. Getting into the next topic here of discussion. This one, actually kind of close to home for you and I, because this topic is how you found us. This story is how you ended up becoming part of the Run Boys Fantasy Network company, part of the team. Here we are months later. Of course, he who shall not be named, removed from the NFL now. Former Steeler, Raider, Patriot, AB. Had some drama yesterday on Instagram Live, and I kind of wanted to touch on this. I'll let you open this one up, Jake. What are your thoughts on the Instagram Live BS with AB?
Oh, wow. The fact that he had the lack of common sense to scream racism when he wasn't even being arrested or detained or even stopped by the police is absolutely hilarious. And how did she get the keys to the car in your house? Unless you gave her the keys or she knew where they were and you told her where they were. And how can the kid get to school if there's no car? And if she takes the kid to school with the car, how is that stealing in any way?
Exactly.
And
it's a small child as well. So need I remind everyone out there, especially parents, that may be listening, this child for damn sure needed a car seat. Booster seat at best, okay? Now, so that you guys have a little bit more context, I did, and you probably see us or the Run Boys name pop up during the Instagram live comments, because I was in the middle of doing some marketing for an interview that I was booked for Immersive Sports Science. Next thing I know, I am watching an Antonio Brown live feed of him calling one of his baby mothers the B word, calling her a bitch, calling her a whore, telling the cops to slam her. All of this while going on in front of his kids. This, of course, being something that me as a father, I have a very huge problem with. I find this interesting. We bring this up on the show today because what disgusted me the most, what I found so vile, was Antonio Brown's followers, was his following. People literally saying, agreeing with the things that this man is coming out of his mouth. Yes, you know, slam her on the pavement, da 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 da. You know, 2020, no more white women. Like, the stuff that I was seeing was so vile and just so ill. And this is the problem. I talked about this, and I touched on this a little bit when we were talking about the psychology side of social media on the Immersive Sports Science interview that I did this morning. And it's only a toxic place if you're surrounded by toxicity. AB is surrounded by toxicity within his own circle and on his social media followers, and he's just diving deeper into that rabbit hole. And then on top of that, why was a grown man holding a bag of candy dicks in the first place?
Yeah, and the most awkward part of that whole thing are people who are saying, oh, he could have been right about the situation. Yeah, but why address it in that way?
Oh, yeah. Why address it in that way? Why address it in front of those kids? Yeah. And he said that she had came to the house in an Uber. The car was, when the police had showed up, the car was parked in a position and still idling in a position of, this woman just pulled up. She had just pulled up to the Hollywood, Florida mansion that AB is staying in. So, and if she's taking him to school, why is she coming in an Uber to take the child to school? Why would you even have your kid, you're this former NFL star, former now, former.
Never playing football again.
Never. Why are you having your kid stay or go to school in an Uber? You should be having your kid, when you got money, you got clout, your kid should be pulling up in Bentleys, which it was a Bentley that he was claiming that she was trying to steal. The police had asked for a notice of eviction. AB could not turn up with the paperwork. The whole thing was just a big, big mess. It was absolutely quite wild. I did try my best during the live stream to get AB to calm down. I found it fascinating that Jimmo, the icon, who had recently reactivated his Instagram account because he's getting ready to promote his new podcast, had messaged me during last night's play-by-play and said that he's completely done with AB. And as we all know, Jimmo is a close friend of Antonio Brown. And he let me know that their friendship is completely done. I want to point out to our public, that is not how you act. I want to point out that if the Run Boys ever blew up to the point to where, you know, I had AB type money, my kid is going to school not in a goddamn Uber. My baby mom, even though I cannot stand, you know, my baby mother, she wouldn't be staying in a hotel. He was like, oh, well, ask her where she stays. She stays in a hotel. Ask her how many kids she got. It don't matter how many other kids she got. It doesn't matter if she has two other kids, but two other men. She has a kid by you. You're the rich one. Take care of your damn responsibilities.
Yeah, so, the only place you take an Uber or taxi to school is New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that's relatively common. I understand that. But still, really in Florida, an Uber to school?
It was an absolute mess, absolute travesty. AB, it sucks that you keep giving us stuff to report on. But as long as you keep giving us shit to report on, me and Jake got a job to do.
And the worst part is, I don't believe the other two, I will say, alleged victims at this point. It's not totally closed. Because they're just so far-fetched. But what he's doing makes me almost believe it's true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way...
I can believe he did that right now. That's one of those things where it's like, I never would go out of my way to, like, say you did this without evidence, but you did something stupid. Like,
by the way,
you didn't do anything wrong.
This is the same baby mother, the same girlfriend that AB was messaging the night that he was threatening Brittany Taylor. This is the exact same woman, and, you know, and it, through those messages, you know, she was a rider. She was holding him down. She was holding him down. So, this whole thing to me adds validation to all the other cases. He's a moron. He's never to step into my NFL again. XFL, do not pick up this clown. I've been seeing a lot of memes. Oh, the XFL is going to enjoy, you know, AB's storyline. Let's remember that Oliver Luck, the father of Andrew Luck, is now the one that's running the XFL. This is not the old school McMahon XFL, folks. Let's just keep facts straight. Moving on here to our next topic. I think we gave AB all that he could handle right there, huh?
Hey, we were nice. I saw what Marcus Spears had to say.
Yeah.
On ESPN, man.
I have not seen any other opinions surrounding it.
It was very universal. It was very universal. I think it has to be.
Facts, especially for anyone that's a father. Next up here on the Rum Report.
You know Ryan Clark had a field day too, because he could not stand AB.
Oh no, he can't. He cannot stand San Antonio Brown. I'm gonna look at some of the other guys' perspective on this. I want to see what other people have to say. Coming up next here on the Rum Report. Julian Edelman this past weekend. I love this one. I love how the Patriots are just kind of starting off our first like 30 minutes or so here on the Rum Report. So Julian Edelman essentially had vandalized another driver's Mercedes-Benz seamlessly while drunkenly jumping on top of the hood of their Mercedes-Benz. Now, I've heard different stories. I have not seen footage, but I have heard different stories that I know for a fact that he was intoxicated, because that's the only way that you're pulling some shit off like that, first off. Second off, I believe that he hopped out of his Mercedes and then jumped on top of the other person's Mercedes, Jake. Is that, what are we thinking here?
Yeah, I think they were just, Paul Pierce said something about it, because he saw the whole situation. I think it was essentially they were just jumping around with a bottle of liquor in hand and having a good time. And, yeah, I mean, they thought this dude would be cool with it, you know? But, really not. I would not be cool with the dude stomping on my Mercedes.
Fuck no. Fuck no. And what's so hilarious is that literally a couple of days prior to this incident, well, actually a week prior to this incident, to give the accurate timetable, Julian Edelman had went on his community tab on YouTube and stated, you know, I'm going to just take a break from YouTube for a little while. We're going to get back to the content. I'm going to be more focused than ever. Da 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 da. And then this happens. And then this Julian Edelman, this is some great content. Like, what I want to know, and I wish I was there to see it. Did you, like, full-on Adam Sandler, Mr. Deeds, the Mercedes?
You slide over the car and not really step on it?
Yeah, like did you...
Get in the way? Like, crosswalk and just troll somebody? Like, I don't know.
Bro, the first thing that I would have done is not jumping on top of it would have been my idea. I would have went for the Beverly Hills Cop, Eddie Murphy slide, you know? But it sounds like you know, like you said, they were having a bottle of liquor. They were having a good time. He decided he was going to jump on it. The dude pressed charges. My thing is, I'm not pressing. If we're all drinking, we're having a good time, probably not going to press charge. I'm gonna be like, yo, there's a shop around the corner. Let's go get this fixed. I believe it happened in L.A.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. There's body shops everywhere. Like,
I think it was outside of L.A. in his hometown, like West River or something, but yeah.
Exactly. I know it was somewhere. It was somewhere around L.A.
And you know the Patriots aura too. This is gonna be forgotten about. Just imagine if Conor McGregor did this.
Oh, bro! If Conor McGregor did this, which this is a very McGregor-esque thing.
There, because the Patriots can get away with this.
Oh, exactly. I mean, and also, I mean, with Edelman, like, I want to know if Portnoy was around from Barstool Sports, probably fucking encouraging this on, because those two are really good friends. It sounds like something that both of them would definitely fucking do. Like, so I just want to know the full story. It sounds crazy, just as crazy as the next thing that we're gonna get into.
This is the Pat McAfee if he goes in the media moment, where he just makes fun of jumping into the canal all the time.
You said where he makes fun of what? I want to catch that one more time. Where he makes fun of what?
Oh, remember when he got arrested for jumping into a canal when he was wasted drunk, like his rookie year?
Yep. Yes, I do.
He always makes fun of it. If he goes to the media, which he probably will, Edelman can always make fun of this. And that's a good thing for him, actually.
It is a good thing for him. I think that this is going to be one of those moments that he's going to highlight later on. Like you said, like Pat McAfee. Media is definitely up his alley. Definitely up his alley. The next
they should make a podcast explaining it, actually. They should do their own podcast on his channel explaining what happened.
They really should. So many hits. They really should. I think that's the next big thing for Edelman. Edelman podcast life. And then you got to feature the Run Boys so that we can have a good laugh and a beer together after this one. Next up here, this one is freaking hilarious. Hilarious and also judicially kind of fucked up. Patrick Chung, the statement has been released on the cocaine possession charges that he was hemmed up with before the start of the season. If many of you remember, Patrick Chung was away at training camp and an alarm suddenly some the fuck how went off at his house. With no homies, no nothing, no girls, no nothing, staying over. The police responded to the alarm at the house, entered the home, and just somehow randomly fucking found cocaine. Like, and per the initial police report, it was just sitting out. Now, I don't know who the fuck just leaves stuff like that hanging out or anything like that. But this is a story. This is a developing story. What I find so very interesting is, one, the entry into the home with no one there, and then the police just finding shit out in the open. Like, so this man just took off to training camp. Him nor his maid had the audacity to clean up after themselves or nothing, right? So that's the first thing that I find fishy. The second thing that I find fishy is how the punishment, and we're going to get into this statement, from the New Hampshire Police Department came about and how it was worded. All right? And Jake, give me one second. I'm going to read this here. This comes out of Lokena, New Hampshire, of Belknap County. The parties have agreed to resolve the pending criminal charges against Mr. Chung. Under the following terms, the state has agreed that it will file what is known as a conditional null prosecco of the charges, which in other words, they're going to kind of, in a way, they're going to punish Mr. Chung. What this legally means in Latin is they're going to, from transitioning from, you know, the legal Latin language into English, they are prosecuting and charging Mr. Young or Mr. Chung, but he's not going to walk away with a criminal record. Here's what gets really interesting. This means the state has agreed to conditionally dismiss the charges against Mr. Chung with the explicit understanding that Mr. Chung will abide by the following conditions. Mr. Chung will remain of good behavior for a period of 2 years. This means he must not commit any crimes, felony or misdemeanor, or any major motor traffic violations. So even a fucking speeding ticket, he's done. Mr. Chung will submit to periodic drug testing at a laboratory to be approved by the state according to the following schedule, once a month for the first 12 months, and thereafter every 90 days for the balance of a 2-year period. Mr. Chung agrees that he will provide the state with copies of said results and will sign a waiver allowing the state to communicate directly with the laboratory to verify the results. Mr. Chung further agrees that the specific form of testing to be performed must be approved by the state. Mr. Chung will also perform 40 hours of community service. Said community service will be connected to drug abuse prevention and education and will be completed within 12 months. At least 20 hours of said community service will be undertaken in New Hampshire. Mr. Chung will provide proof to the state of the completion of his community service. And he also waives his right to a speedy trial. So essentially, Jake, I'll let you go first. What are you making of this?
Well, he definitely had that in the house. I mean, that does not surprise me. I don't think it was. It might have not been his, because I'm sure as an athlete he has cameras in his home.
Right.
Just for safety purposes. So if it was planted, they'd know. So the fact that he agreed probably shows that that evidence was there. And I think the reason they really can't go at him with any real charges is because they didn't have a warrant to begin with.
Yep.
So technically they did all they could. And I think this comes down to, if he has a drug problem, this is probably good for him. Or if somebody in the house has a drug problem, it's probably good for them. But I don't know if it's being married with kids or something, and it was his wife going through something. But, yeah, it was not planted. That was definitely there. I'm sure there's cameras that showed it was there. And the system or his attorney would have fought it. And in the end, right. I mean, slap on the wrist for something that, I guess, was his own fault. Even if it's not his, I don't know how that got into his house.
Exactly. I mean, you don't know. I don't know. The police don't know. What I don't, with the punishment aspect, especially because you did not have a warrant to enter.
No.
So with the punishment aspect, you're essentially taking away 2 years of this man's life. He already submits to pretty much around the lines of the same drug policy. All they did was literally copy and paste the NFL's drug policy once you get popped, once you get caught. And copy their whole policy, you know, where it's like it's an 18-month thing. Then you got, you know, every 90 days after that. They did the exact same thing, except they're just making it a little bit more strenuous. The community service, like, well, if he doesn't have a drug problem, we're not able to prove if he has a problem. He's never had any charges before. I just feel a lot of it is super excessive, and
yeah.
The state of New Hampshire is trying everything they can to get money out of a big player. Because let me just explain this to you guys. Drug testing, state-funded drug testing, costs money. It costs money. And when you're on basically a probation-style type of deal that Patrick Chung is going to be facing, you have to pay fines as well. So it's coming out of the taxpayer's pocket. Plus, it's because it's a state-funded program. Plus, it's coming out of your pocket. So I think that it's kind of just like a big, it's a make an example out of him, and let's extort some money at the same time. And that's the part of this that I completely disagree with it. It should have never took them, it took them a full entire fucking football season for them to try this case.
Positive, and a big concern, who in the house has coke and uses coke?
That's what I'm saying. So it's like,
and I think he took a hit for somebody that owes him money, because I think he could have stitched on somebody really quick.
Oh yeah. Patrick Chung could have probably easily flipped informant He didn't. He kept it 10 toes down. It's unfortunate for Mr. Chung. I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I feel sorry for you. Because
That sucks.
Yeah, I don't think that it's fair. I don't think that it's right. But let's see here. Let's get into the next topic of discussion here. Oh snap, I don't even remember when I started. I'm like having to timestamp these as I am going through. We stopped that one at 3:30 is what I'll say, or 30:30. Next topic that we have, after the AFC playoff matchup, Bill O'Brien did go ahead and admit that he had no plays. He did not have a play available on that that huge, what was it, 4th and 20, 4th and 24, something like that, or like they had it. All they had to do was go for it. You know,
4th and 1.
4th and 1. It was a 4th and 1, and they chose a punt, is what it was. Yeah. What do you think? What are you thinking about this one, man? I mean, it's the AFC round, divisional round. You should be game planning. You've had all season.
You don't have a play that gains 1 yard in your playbook.
That's what I'm saying.
1 yard. It was 1 yard. Yeah. I mean, you should go. I feel like every team, in this case, it probably didn't happen. Goes into a game with at least 10 to 12 fourth down plays they want to run at certain distances that are kept track of. They didn't go for it on fourth down the entire game, to my knowledge, minus that fake punt. So you had a play, I think. I think he just didn't want to say that it was a bad play call and they had to get out of it. And they had to take the penalty yards or waste the time out, and they just decided to, you know.
So there's so there's zero chance in your mind that you believe that he legitimately just did. I mean, Bill O'Brien is notorious for choking in the playoffs.
You have fourth down plays. You have fourth and short plays. I don't care what coach you are. I mean, I think he did want to say that the play was a bad look, and it wouldn't have worked at that formation. But, yeah, he had something, and I think it just didn't work out. And I think he said he didn't have a play ready for that formation. So even if he had, I think he had something in mind, and I don't think he had an audible for it. So that's a big problem.
How do you...
Do you agree? I mean, you have a playoff for 4th and 1.
Every team. All it is, 9 times out of 10, is either a QB sneak or a simple draw play.
Handoff, or it just goes over the top. You let them pile up and just jump over.
Exactly. None of these things that we have seen time and time again that are really simple when we talk X's and O's were accomplished. Bill O'Brien, I'm going to be honest. I think that you were just a dumbass.
And panicked.
And like normal, you choked in the playoffs against another choke artist in Andy Reid. And you choked so hard that one moment is what allowed them to be able to regain momentum. You had a 24-point lead. And then it swung 20 points. How do you do that?
Yeah. And the punter did take responsibility for that. He said after the game that was a bad read. He should not have called, let the fake go. He could have audibled out.
Yep.
And kicked the football. But still, don't put a punter who doesn't make the right choice back there. Or don't put the play in the playbook.
Exactly. And with the punters.
Or not the punter. 33. Whoever the running back was.
Or yeah.
Who ran that ball. He could have audibled out. He just didn't do it.
Did it. Exactly. And then no, like you said, I mean, there was, I know what play to just talk about though, with the punter, with the fake where Reed had chose that he was going to try and run it. At what fucking point is a safety outrunning any of those guys, especially it's made up of your second and third stringers usually. Maybe there's a couple of starters out there, and they're usually the strongest on the line and the fastest in terms of speed. At what point, Reed, in that position, did you think that you were going to fucking outrun any of them? That is what astonished me, is that they tried to rely on a safety on that play in order to get them the first down. absolute, and punters know how they're trained just like quarterbacks to be able to make reads and make adjustments at the line.
Well, I think the call was for the running back. I think they wanted the running back to see the matchup and trusted the back to make that choice. So when they went up, I think the back said, I like the look. I know it's what to expect. I think I can get past the special teamer. I wouldn't say the safety on the other team made a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was.
One of the backup white safeties made a tackle. But yeah, I think that was up to the running back to make that decision. It's like, I'll get it. I'll get his 4 yards. And yeah.
Absolutely awful. Bill O'Brien, you, sir, are awful. Texans need to figure out something. Like,
and he's a GM too, so they're going to fire him as a coach and GM, luckily.
Exactly. The McNair family, they're really taking a huge step back. If you fire Bill O'Brien right now, you're taking a huge step back. And if you're a Texans fan and Bill O'Brien is fired, look for regression. Look for automatic regression right out the gate.
He's Norv Turner to me. Gets to the playoffs and doesn't win.
Yeah.
He is the same thing as Norv Turner to me.
Norv Turner, Marvin Lewis.
He can't win with a prime LT and Rivers, and it's a joke.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. Poor Bill O'Brien, you just got roasted here on the Rum Report. You're the reason why the Rum is always gone this week. Getting into the next topic. Poor Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy, I'm sorry. Still is not a NFL head coach. What are your thoughts on this, Jake? You know I'm going to feel strongly about this one.
The Browns should have hired him.
Yeah?
He's been around a long time. The Browns should have hired him. They didn't do it. So I'm very upset about this. I think the hard part for him is... he has, in my opinion, I know you may disagree, the best quarterback in football.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think he has a top three offensive mind as a head coach. So it's hard to really point him out and say he deserves credit for it. But he calls the plays and designs the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So he does do what Andy Reid used to do, and Andy Reid's just a head coach. And I think that he's behind a great coaching tree. To the point of where he's getting punished for having a good coach and quarterback. And, yeah, he's getting older, right?
I mean, yep.
How old is he now?
Oh, God. I have no idea. Here, let me look that up really quick. You continue with your take.
Right now. I don't want to mess with it.
No, hey, you continue your take. I'll look that up.
Yeah, but at this point, it's hard to find a coaching job as you age. And if you're not a very experienced coordinator that gets a job early, you're usually just a coordinator for your career. And I think that's what he's going to be stuck as.
Yeah, I mean, he's 50 years old now, to answer your question.
Very rare. Sometimes you see guys like Bruce Arians get hired way too late, in my opinion. He was like 64.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a joke. He's a smart coach. The Browns should have hired him. They didn't do it. So,
and what's so messed up about the Bieniemy thing is, you know, and I don't mean to make it about this on this show. And our brand is, you know, that we try not to talk about these types of things. But there's literally a freaking rule in effect, okay? Called the Rooney Rule, to where there should be X amount of African American staff or just pure minority staff. And those head coaching and GM style positions. And even with that rule in place, it didn't happen. Nothing happened out of any of the teams. There's what, 5-6 teams to where he could have landed a job. And I definitely felt that the Browns or the Giants were definitely going to be teams that would have went in to go and get him. Especially the Browns. And
yeah, the reason they didn't do it is because they fired Dorsey from Kansas City and they did not want to bring one of Dorsey's guys in.
Exactly.
That's the reason they didn't do it. And Haslam screwed that up, so.
Yep, that was going to be one of the things that I was going to mention. Go ahead. He's like, let me take this sip really quick.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Haslam, I think Haslam is the guy that will never trust anybody to make the decision for him. And it goes to the point of even, did you hear what he said about Kevin Stefanski and the new system they're going to have for the Friday meetings?
I believe that I did read something about it, but okay. for the audience, definitely elaborate.
He essentially wants to have a setup where everything that the coordinator and head coach does with a game plan offensively, they want to run to the analytics department and Haslam for them to approve.
That was already a piece of the problem of the problem with like, Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, Haslam knows football. This is great. I love the idea to have a guy that doesn't know football choose what plays you should and shouldn't run. It makes so much sense.
The literal problem, and even Freddie Kitchens has said it, I believe it was like a week five press conference. He's like, you know, well, we have these analytics guys, and they tell us that these are the numbers, and these are percentages, and this is why we went for it on fourth down. And he tried to, he got reamed. He got reamed in the media, and we were part of that media that reamed him because of listening to these analytics guys. So we're literally going to repeat the exact same fucking mistake that the guy that just got fired for just tried to defend himself for. Cleveland.
Yeah.
Your ass backwards. Your bass backwards, in the words of Tech Nine.
Hey, Haslam is. Not Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's the Cleveland Haslams, not the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Haslams. Yes, exactly.
It is.
It was so ironic. Now, as long as we're on the topic of Haslam, I am interested to see how McCarthy runs things in Dallas. Because him and Haslam during the offseason were sitting back playing coach during McCarthy's absence in the NFL. I'm interested to see how that works. How much of people still shamelessly from each other? You know, it's a habit. It's how you get better. It's how you learn new things. You know, Apple wasn't the first fucking iPhone or wasn't the first cell phone. They just took all the different functions of the cell phone and made it better. The cell phone was already invented. It was a suitcase and shit.
They stole BlackBerry's idea and made it touchscreen.
Exactly. That's all that happened. You know, same thing with this. I want to see how much shamelessly was stolen from McCarthy, from Haslam, and but vice versa, and how it's going to affect the two in their current roles and in their current careers. Shit. Damn, I feel like we broke that one down pretty well. If you have anything else surrounding
that one. It just gives me anything to think about. Haslam right now.
Someone hire Eric Bieniemy, damn it. Someone hire him. Getting into the next one here on the docket. We're going to kind of segue over into baseball, actually. I'm sure you heard the Astros, the Houston Astros, one suspended, it was their GM and owner, I believe, suspended for a year, so they cannot be around baseball for a year. And then furthermore, they are fired from the Astros. Many of personalities are on Twitter, so on and so forth, stating that the Astros have not been penalize enough. How do you feel about what is happening to the Astros? Tell me more.
So Pete Rose was banned for life for gambling on games for his team to win. This team was cheating to win, and Pete Rose was not cheating to win at all. How are they not banned for life for doing this? And I think it's strong on both ends. I don't think either should be a lifetime ban. But this is worse than what Pete Rose did. No doubt, in my opinion. And they're not banned for life. And it's embarrassing to me. Where they should be at least out 2 years.
They were utilizing, I mean, especially when you look at when you look at the space that we're in. I had mentioned earlier today on the Immersive Sports Science podcast that I was featured on that we're in a technology industry where if you don't like something, don't worry, it's going to change in 5 minutes. They were using technology which gives you a great advantage to steal signs and pretty much measure pitch counts, and then utilize, and then communicating that to the mound via a fucking trash can cadence beating like a drum. That is a significant advantage for a batter. To me, that's significant. If I know what pitch is coming, and I've also studied the pitcher that I'm going up against, so I know the trajectory of the ball, the spin, da 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 da. You know, I've watched how they throw a fastball, a curveball, so on and so forth multiple times. Yeah, this is a huge problem. But I do feel that they were punished well enough and decently enough to where it is what it is. This is where we are at. And I guess you could say in terms of punishments, there was going to be a way that the owner was probably going to be out, or the GM was probably going to be out irregardless because of the Ozuna comment. I highly doubt that baseball was going to continue to just look past that. So I mean, with that, I feel like the punishment is it is fair. Could more have been done? And if more was done, would I be disagreeing? No, I would not.
Yeah.
Fair is fair. You fucked up.
Yeah.
But it does make me feel better about my Nationals because they're known as some cheating whores, and we're champions.
Hey, they beat Cleveland in the playoffs twice in that run, by the way.
So. I know they did. I'm sorry to rub that in. I did not mean to do that.
Yeah, so, very questionable there.
Very, very questionable.
But no, what do you think about that title? Is there an asterisk now? It's never going to be the same. It doesn't count.
I feel like there should be an asterisk.
I saw a Dodgers fan saying, so now we're the World Series champions? And I was like, you might have a debate on that. Because it was a home game.
The Dodgers on Twitter.
It was a home that you choked away when they start, and they were using that in the home game against the Dodgers in Game 6. So
the Dodgers on Twitter were pretty vicious last night. The mandate came down from the MLB that all clubs affected that by the Astros cheating were to not pretty much speak out or say anything. They weren't supposed to celebrate it. So what the Dodgers did was pretty much retweet the fucking statement out. It was pretty hilarious. I definitely enjoyed it. Dodgers fans are savage, and so is their management.
And is there going to be a heavy investigation into the Alex Cora now for the Red Sox? Because he started it. He was doing it there before anyone else.
It sounds like that there is going to be. I think that the ESPN they were just reporting that there's going to be a deep dive into it. I'll definitely get more. And I think that just kind of came out while we were on air, so we're going to get more on that as well. Let's see here. Getting back into, actually, we're going to kind of skip around the script here. Of course, if you don't mind, man, skipped around the show notes. So, McGregor, we're going to get into UFC. Conor McGregor recently was on the Ariel Helwani show. It's kind of course, you know, doing a typical press thing that all fighters do. They got to gas up the fight that they're about to participate in. McGregor talked about facing Mayweather again, a Pacquiao deal, and then also this current MMA fight against Cerrone, possibly being one of the most lucrative fights in his MMA career that he has had. What do you make of kind of, I guess you could say McGregor's, you know, kind of loud mouth talking BS, the same shit that we're always getting from him?
I would actually say he's toned it down pretty heavily. Obviously with the two sexual assault charges, the cell phone incident with like the college kid in Miami, and the 55-year-old man that could take a left hand to McGregor like a champ. And I just think McGregor at this point is making it very clear that he needs super fights to come back. And I don't blame him for it. I don't like McGregor, but I understand what he did for the sport. I understand that he has made enough money. He does not need to chase titles. He's in it for the super fight. And I think that what he pretty much said is, I am not strictly a UFC fighter. I'm a money fighter, and I'm going to wait for that prize fight. And if he wins, I have zero doubt he's going to call out Masvidal. Zero doubt. He wants the money fight.
Yeah, I think that it's all money. You know, from here on out. I don't necessarily like, you know, the whole him wanting to go back to boxing, but you know, me, you know, my father being Italian and Irish, I grew up in the sport of boxing. I didn't start, you know, learning how to really utilize my legs and grappling and stuff until around about 11, 12 years old. Boxing has kind of always been my mainstay, so I understand from a cultural standpoint the Irish are very prideful boxers. I didn't want him to constantly participate, but I feel like he needs to, one, focus on MMA. Two, he needs to be focusing on, I believe that sports and psychology, they and, you know, mental health, those things, they all go together, and they mesh well. And I think that he's someone that needs to be working on his mental health, and who he is as a person right now, and becoming a better, positive person. And I think that's only going to happen by him getting back in the ring, getting back into the discipline side of martial arts, him focusing on MMA and focusing on titles. The money has corrupted him and made him this big badass that he's walking around doing all of this. Money changes people. Money changes people. Like, we saw it. We used to watch a damn comedy sitcom back in the day called Dave Chappelle Show, The Chappelle Show. And what did he always used to be? Should have never gave you niggas money. Like, you know, he would stomp on the couch and he was making fun of Rick James. Money changed Rick James. Money changes people. If we can see that in comedy, we can see that now. And I part of me for because I was a McGregor fan, and the former McGregor fan in me wants to see him go back to who he was, because I feel like he was a very positive person, a very positive spirit back then. Before the money, before the fame, I want to see him go back to that. And I think the only way to do that is to win competitive matches and to win competitive fights. I feel like he needs to win. He needs to beat Cerrone, you know, because obviously Cerrone is set up for him to be a mega fight, which is why the payday is like that. And I don't feel like
numbers came out. McGregor is making 5 before the gate, and Cerrone's making 2 before the gate. And pay-per-view points.
Fuck that. So I'd be McGregor's pissed. McGregor's
going to probably walk out with 8-10, and Cerrone's going to walk out with 6-7, though.
Yeah, see, if I'm Cerrone...
Good for Cerrone, by the way. Win or lose, great for Cerrone. He deserves it.
But and this, let's face it, this is probably going to be the end of Cerrone's career. You know?
Win or lose, I think he might walk away, because if you beat McGregor, you have nothing else he can do to help your career.
Exactly. No, there's literally not for Cerrone. He's just not that highly marketable of a guy. Even the P1 snacks that he's marketing, sales aren't up because people are buying because of Cerrone. Sales are up just because it's a protein fucking snack, you know? He's just not, Cerrone's just kind of not that name, and that's why I feel like with the money that McGregor's being given for this fight, I don't agree with the money side of it, because you're not fighting a money name. But I get it. You know, you're due up next. You're the biggest name in MMA. The UFC pretty much needs you just as much as you need the UFC, because of how much of a household name you are. You're the only fighter that is literally a household name. So I mean, with that being said, with that being stated, McGregor, I wish you the best, but I think that your focus needs to be changed. Like he was saying in the interview, I feel like you should not be giving a fuck. I'm sorry, in the words of you, a fuck about goddamn fighting Pacquiao or trying to fight or Mayweather again. Your focus needs to be getting back to being a champion, you know?
Yeah.
I like champion McGregor over the fourth show McGregor, for sure.
See, what's weird is, though, the first show, I think, was his chase for money. And the titles he thought would bring him money and fame.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's less showy that he has the money and fame, and he knows it. And I think he's really calmed down his personality, because he knows he's a star. I think that's why people don't like him. If he was still arrogant and attention-seeking in the media and never changed his personality, I think people would like him more. But the clear change in, I know I'm a star, I'm going to get paid by somebody. I think that's why people dislike him so much now. Because he kind of sold out for the gimmick.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's where the disconnect is, me as a former McGregor fan, that I have. Like, I can't call myself a fan of McGregor. I can't find myself as an analyst trying to support and defend McGregor. I am a human. Outside of being an analyst, I am a human at fucking heart. And I will say the only way that my opinion could be swayed is for him to get back on his feet and become the person that, and go back to being the fighter that was passionate about fighting and passionate about the sport. I question his passion right now because it feels like it's just about the money. I don't even know. I mean, he looks like he's in pretty decent shape, but I don't even know if he's really fucking in shape.
I mean, he's always in shape. That's the thing. He's just a naturally ripped dude.
I mean,
even when he was coming up at 145, that dude was just cut. He just...
Okay, cool. Now we're back recording here. Spotify. But no, I 100% agree. I feel like that's what I need in order for McGregor to go back to being the fighter I could actually favor. Next up, by the way, we are going to be calling that fight. For those of you that do not know, anyone that is new that's going to be tuning into this, we will be calling that fight on Sportscaster and YouTube. I am going to be switching over to a new format where podcasts like this, the Run Report, Run Boys After Dark, we're going to start doing audio versions plus the video versions of these. And then, play-by-play will always be video only. Keeping kind of, on the same, I mean, we're going to be getting out of fighting here. One second. So getting out of the realm of fighting, I want to kind of take it over into basketball, starting off with college basketball. Coach Roy Williams has not been the happiest with his UNC men's basketball team. I don't know if you've seen, he's called them the least talented group that he's ever coached, said that they are not ready for, Final Four run, so on and so forth. What do you make up of Coach Williams and how harsh he's being on his kids right now?
He is trying to summon his inner John Calipari, I think, where he was always kind of like, our team's trash, worst team ever coached, we have to toughen up. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, to my knowledge, he's been closer to a player's coach in a way of he never criticized the players publicly. And I think he's really just trying to get his team together, and at this point, I don't think it's the lack of talent. I think it's the lack of your top talent being injured.
And that's what I realistically think that it is. I'm a UNC fan. I'm a Tar Heels fan. I'm pretty sure the general overall viewing public, for the most part, knows that. Whenever March Madness comes around, and yeah, like Koo just mentioned here in our live YouTube chat. UNC, has some injuries. I feel like the injuries are what realistically plague us. I don't think that it's that we're not talented. We're a top school in the nation year in, year out. It never really changes for us in that respect. This is the first year in a long time that we've been bad. And I don't even think that it's necessarily that we're bad, but I mean, not having, Anthony Harris, Anthony Harris actually, going down, recently, Cole Anthony, he's been pretty much out like the whole season. And he's, when he gets healthy, he's going to probably be ready for the NBA if he doesn't stay another year at UNC.
Will he even stay up for the season?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't if I were him. I don't see a reason to stay.
What are you going to do? Come back, play in March?
Yeah.
And it's not even a guarantee that we make it to March. I don't even think that we make it to March. So, I mean, just overall for UNC, I mean, I don't think that this is the right approach as a coach. I get that you're trying to bring the best out of your guys, but this isn't the way that you're going to bring the best out of them. You know, pretty much letting them know that they're ass at the moment because of, you know, lack of having your main superstars. I feel like in a way it's messed up. You know, get out there, coach, develop these kids. They're young, and your superstar that's injured right now, he's a freshman. You think he's going to want to come back and play for you if you're, you know, talking about the rest of the team like their shit? So, I mean, I don't think this is the best way of coach handling it. I get him being heated. But every time I see this headline pop up, because this is now a recurring headline for the last about 2-3 weeks, every time I see this pop up, it just disappoints me as a Tar Heels fan. Hopefully they get this together. We're not making the tournament this year. Everyone that's from North Carolina listening, everyone that is a Tar Heels fan that is listening, I apologize. I don't know why I apologize, because I can't fix the shit, but it sucks.
And also, it's kind of funny that these coaches say it's academics first. We care about what the classroom work is over what they do on the court. We're here to build people's careers and stuff outside of basketball. When these coaches have a bad team, look what they do. Bob Huggins is the same thing.
Yep. Bob Knight used to do it.
Yeah.
Izzo.
It's about lack of talent when you're losing, and then when you're winning, you say it's more important to be good in the classroom.
Dude.
It's all a lie. They only care about their pockets and winning games.
That's all that these college coaches are there for. I mean, look at the bucks that are getting. Roy Williams is what, the highest paid college coach? I think Izzo got more money last year.
Jay Williams, I think, is the highest paid, right? I feel like he got a stupid extension after he won the 2 titles.
Was it? I know that Roy Williams was highly up there.
Oh, yeah. It's always Calipari, Roy Williams, Jay Wright, and Coach K. And unfortunately, that Arizona coach, he should be fired.
Yeah, what's his name?
That dude?
Self?
Something Miller.
Okay, no, is it? Yeah, I can't remember. But no, I 100% agree. These coaches, they're there for the money. They're not really there I'm sure there's a piece that's there for the development of these kids. But as long as their pockets are fat, that's what they're there for. We'll be covering March Madness. UNC in or not, I'm going to be covering it whether my team is in it or not. I don't even know why I just said that. Redskins ain't in the Super Bowl, but I'm covering the motherfucker.
I'll be there, so.
Oh, you're going to be it? You're going to be there?
March Madness?
Oh, March Madness. Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about this.
Yeah, I'll be there, so. I'll bet the game to see what happens. I get into basketball after the NBA, usually. I mean, after the NFL.
NFL.
That's when I really start focusing on it.
Yep, exactly the same. After NFL is completely done, that's when I'm like, all right, now I can focus on college basketball. Now I can focus on the NBA. Let's see here. Keeping it with basketball, is Zion ever going to... I found this kind of interesting. So on First Take, a fan had asked Stephen A. Smith. They turned to the audience, put the microphone in the fan's face. He's like, hey, Stephen A., is Zion ever going to bring a championship to New Orleans? And Stephen A. just flat out, hell no. So I'm going to ask you the same question that fan had asked Stephen A. Is Zion ever going to bring a championship to New Orleans?
I don't think so. I think he's going to be a better franchise player in terms of wins than AD, but the NBA... I know you like it. It's a big market league. So, if the big markets usually win out, or if you get this chance where you're have a Golden State type run at a traditionally smaller market or less well-known market, it's interesting to see that they can do it. They're a good story. Then when they win a few, it's a big market team. That's a team that will be good for a while. So... yeah, Golden State's going to come back. I think the Lakers and Clippers are going to be very good for a minute. Philly, Boston. And even if they become a 4 or 5 seed and they kind of hit that point where the Rockets fall down, I just don't see it. I could see it winning somewhere else with another star, but I don't see Nolo getting a title with him.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily gonna happen. Here's why. Okay. So history repeats itself, but every now and then history finds a way of throwing a wrench into things and confusing the fuck out of all of us. Like Ben Simmons had a lot of hype around his name coming out of LSU, going to Philly, but then, you know, he had the injury and he had to miss a whole year. And then, so making it to where his rookie year was pretty much his second year in the league, right? I don't think that Zion is going to stay with New Orleans for his whole career, just because, like I think that Zion can get a ring. I don't think that New Orleans can get a ring. Zion has to deal with first being healthy and getting the injury history out of the way and stuff like that. And that's where New Orleans is really going to come in and help him out. And honestly, maybe not, because New Orleans also was a big place where AD was dealing with a lot of the injuries and stuff as well. You know, and now Zion, they're dealing with it. And he hasn't even touched the floor for the Pelicans yet. Hasn't even put on a uniform for him yet. The only way that Zion could really transform that is he has to transform the culture. He has to transform the market. He has to be so goddamn good that a team will sign him. You know, a team will sign other superstars, and other superstars will want to go where he is. That's not happening. No one is wanting to go to New Orleans. New Orleans has really good food, banging ass women, and that's an awesome music, and then that's it. After that, New Orleans is fucking New Orleans, right? So I don't foresee Zion being the guy that can do all that and change all that for the city, for the state. But I mean, I don't think that he gets. I don't think the Pelicans get a championship probably ever anytime soon. It won't happen for years down the line. Where me and you will be probably well off into our 40s before that happens.
Oh yeah, and to go on like the Zion like developing concept, if you're gonna develop in a city, I don't think it's a place where you have New Orleans food.
Exactly.
I mean, I see that dude on the sideline. He does not look like he's gonna lose weight anytime soon.
Exactly. Yeah, you're not developing Zion in New Orleans, especially because of that a diet aspect. Let's see. Ku said the Spurs building a dynasty from back in the past. I mean, the Spurs, that's different. That's different. Yeah. That's coaching.
Yeah, well, he was countering how I picked a couple big markets and stuff, and he said, oh, these teams won with a small market. And I said, yeah, some teams do it, but most of the talent's drained by L.A. and California in general.
Exactly. L.A., Cali, you know.
Boston,
yeah. Really? Places with high cost of living is where you can find championships. If it costs you $850 for a one bedroom, you can kiss a championship goodbye. It's not happening.
Yeah.
That's so fucked up. Ku did want to mention the Thunder. We'll go ahead and we'll toss them in for a segment here.
Oh yeah.
SGA went what, 20 for 20, and
a 20 rebound triple double, youngest to do it.
Yeah, 20 rebound triple double. Should he be getting all star praises?
This year, the West is so tough at that position to really put him in the All-Stars. I do think the Eastern Conference probably has better teams, but the talent in the West makes me think that he won't get in.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, I think the debate comes with his future at this point, and I see him as a slightly worse passing, more athletic Brandon Roy type of player, if he stays healthy. And he has a great future ahead of him. And they should probably consider building around him long term and really giving him the ball. And I don't know what to do with Chris Paul, but they're going to be fine. They have a guy that can dominate a game in the next few years if he keeps developing as a passer as well.
Yeah. So,
a chip to OKC.
This decade. One thing that I want to credit Oklahoma City on is how impressive is it that time and time again they're able to reinvent and redefine themselves over and over and over again.
They are thieves of the draft. They get some players you cannot imagine developing it. Their only miss really was Perry Jones III, I could think of. A lot of their guys are good players until injury hits. They always find a way to get steals in the draft and just take talent where you can't expect to find it.
Exactly. You know, to answer Koo's question, OKC getting a chip in this decade.
If KD goes back, maybe.
I'm not gonna go with JD's take there. If KD comes back, maybe.
I don't think so, man. I don't think KD's gonna see another ring.
I'ma say that they can get one. Because we are evaluating them over a decade, and no one's going to drag this take back up for another fucking decade. So, hey, within a decade, I'm going to say sure. Also, for the simple fact, though, to support my take, their front office is really good. They do get steals in the draft. A talent will come around that'll lead that team. They're always, you know, in playoff contention, in playoff talks. I think that it's possible they could maybe get over the hump, and that would probably be the one small market team in this decade that pulls that off. I think that'd be the one small market team that pulls that off. Look like Jake froze there. They stay relevant, like the Celtics, to be honest. Similar winning percentage last decade. OKC is a top-tier franchise, in my opinion. Going to OKC was a good move by the ownership group, but I miss the Supersonics. I always miss the Supersonics. Sam Presti is an underrated GM. I don't think that he is underrated. I think that his market is what allows him to be underrated. Let's see if we can get Jake back on air here. Yep, he's going to go ahead and reset there. So we'll wait on him. We're going to get back into the rest of the show. Here, actually, I'm going to put that right there. Boom. Cool, yeah. Let's see if we can get a... Get Jake back up in here for the show. He's a GM. His only failure was favoring Westbrook over KD. I don't know if that was necessarily a failure. And the trading Harden thing, I'm not gonna say that was a failure either. Yeah, I'm not gonna say that those are failures. Basically, falling in love with Westbrook was his biggest problem. I think KD's the type of personality that he was going to go to a big market irregardless, even if he was a favorite guy. KD just didn't give a fuck and didn't want to be in OKC. That's where he got off in leaving, and that's why he wanted to leave. He just didn't want to stay there. I think that Westbrook had something to do with it, too. Harden was coming to his own. I think we're all realistically pissed off at KD for realizing the future. And what could have came about. Yeah, like Westbrook, he actually liked being there and he wanted to be there. Here, while we wait on Jake, I think he might be like resetting his computer or something. What's going on, man? You are back.
Yeah.
Just waiting on your camera to load up. You're coming in broken. Boom. Alrighty, so now we're back into the show, ladies and gentlemen. Next topic that we have to discuss, we are going to get into Tony Romo, of course, being offered a huge lucrative contract. I believe the number that I read was somewhere along the lines of like $8 million to do Monday Night Football. Pretty much he would take over Booger McFarland's role. How are you feeling about this? And is the money maybe too much? Does Romo deserve it? What are your thoughts?
Romo deserves it for now, and I think he's so good at what he's doing because he played so recently. He knows the players, he knows tendencies, he knows modern NFL football. The concern is that as he ages out and there's a new game coming in, I don't think he'll be as quick to know what's going to happen and understand all the checks that he predicts on live air. So, I mean, the hire's great short-term, and to be honest, I don't see many long-term color commentators or analysts making it. Because I think the NFL will go strictly streaming soon. So I think this is a chance for Romo to cash in really quick. Well, it's still there, because there's not going to be much more football on TV, I fear.
Yeah, I think that the industry is eventually gonna sway over to guys like myself. You know, people kind of being able to pick their analysts, pick and choose, so on and so forth. I think more people are becoming aware of that being a possibility for them and for their entertainment purposes while watching a game. I don't know if necessarily it'll come off of cable necessarily, like there'll be less football on cable, as there will be opportunities for announcers, you know, like the old guard. You know, I think that it's time for Collinsworth and Michaels to kind of get the fuck out of there and make way for the new breed. I think the NFL is starting to wake up and realize that they do need a new breed. I mean, look at the way that Booger was ripped all over social media because of how horrible his takes were and just how awful of a commentator he was. He would say the most obvious shit, you know.
But so did John Madden, and no one cared.
Yeah.
No one cared about John Madden. But it was funny back then, but there was no social media backlash to catch on.
Exactly. Now there's backlash. To where I think the NFL is, they're understanding that they cannot please everyone, but they can find a way to please at least the vast majority by making these changes and by getting someone that is more highly favored in the public. You know?
Why not? I like Rodney Harrison, too. I think he understands the game very well. I don't know why he sticks to NBC.
I think it's a matter of, I mean, of course, ESPN, them being owned by Disney, they're the ones that can go out there and for a commentator, they can drop, you know, 5 to 8 milli on a big TV contract for an announcer like that. So I think that's why, you know, you're not seeing Harrison or Dungy get all of those types of reps, just because the money for NBC and the money that Disney has are two totally completely different bank accounts. You know? So I mean, both similar, both in kind of the same tax bracket when we talk businesses. But it just I don't know. I feel like he deserves it. He should go ahead and take it. Monday Night Football does need a better commentator. I mean, until the space is completely shifted over to where people are preferring their own personal live color commentators, this is the next best thing that people are going to get. I don't necessarily like it, because if Romo's calling Monday Night Football, nobody's going to want to watch Rumboys, you know? Booger helps people watch Rumboys.
Yeah. He didn't know what a cover two was.
Mm-mm.
As a defensive lineman and linebacker, he had no idea what a cover two was.
None. And that's why I think that, you know, it's good for Monday Night Football, not good for the space that you and I are working in here today.
Yep. And Peyton even turned it down because he just doesn't want to deal with it.
Deal with it. next topic that we have on deck. Beast Mode is telling the young guys to protect their chicken. Beast Mode came out and stated to the young players after Seattle's loss in a press conference that, hey, you know, guys, take care of your body. You know, take care. If you take care of your body, you'll get the money, yada, yada, yada. Beast Mode, for the most part, throughout that whole press conference, deflected any other, like, real questions. He wanted to mainly use that platform to talk to the younger players. Do you feel like it's kind of messed up that Beast Mode says this, and all of a sudden we're all on his back? We're all here for him.
I feel like Marshawn Lynch is a great personality, and I will never take that away from him. I feel like what he says is really common sense. Make money outside of football, protect yourself, protect the money you make. And coming from him, I don't know why it means more than when it came from players like in the past, like who are currently playing, like Brady, Manning said it too, Romo said it. They all branched out. I don't know why. I agree with them. Football maybe is not a long-term sport like it used to be. You get what you can, get a personality, and get out. But I don't know that. I don't know why we take Beast Mode's opinion so, like, set in his ways compared to every other player that says it when they retire.
Exactly. What got me so much about this was I was around for a whole weekend for 5 fucking days straight. I was around players of rookie and veteran presence in the league. And I was around the NFL Players Association members. And I got to get a look into what the NFLPA does, so on and so forth. And like, it was a really intimate experience. And there's a lot of financial workshops that they sit the players down, you know, in the conference room. They're talking to them about, you know, how to work with your agent, what the different incentives are on your contract. They're breaking the whole fucking language of the NFL down to these kids because they're kids, step one. Step two, they don't know none of this. There's literally a whole association that is built on you going to get that knowledge and is built off of giving you the knowledge of, and this is important. So I'm not taking anything away from what Marshawn Lynch said, because what Marshawn Lynch, anyone that has ever met a former NFL player knows that they are not taken care of in the best manner. Taken care of a little bit better than a military veteran. Not taken care of in the best manner, though. Okay? Their bodies hurt. They're riddled. Sometimes they can barely even talk. Their speech may be off. So I'm not taking anything away from what Beast Mode says and, you know, protect your chicken. You know, protect your money, protect your body, protect your mind. Go get endorsement deals, so on and so forth. I have a problem that all the players that reacted to it, but when the NFLPA is telling you to do it, you're not listening. You know, that I have an issue with. You know, as much as
the rookie symposium should be enough. I'm sorry, they do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
It shouldn't just be because Marshawn stood up on a post-game podium and said it, that we're now taking it significantly more serious. To me personally, I have a problem with it, and for the younger generation to kind of react to it the way that they did, it just shows you that things go kind of one ear and out the other. I guess sometimes you just need a certain personality to say certain things, but to take care of your money, to take care of your family, to take care of yourself, should not fall on deaf ears and then all of a sudden awake you just because fucking Marshawn Lynch says it. You know?
Yeah, and when T.O. can go broke, you know players don't listen.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous how much money he made, and now he can't pay for anything.
Pay for a goddamn thing. Look at A.B. out here willing to box either the Paul brothers, and he's out here making music videos in his fucking living room. Because he's running out of money. He knows that he's running out of money. A lot of these guys have been propped up because they've been athletically gifted. And when the NFL chews you up and spits you out, sometimes they don't see it coming. Exactly. Exactly.
You know a great one? Sidney Rice.
Mm-hmm.
A few injuries, left wing stop. Chris Johnson, left early. Could have come back from an injury, chose not to. He's younger than AP, but he left the game because he has something outside of it.
Look,
a lot of these players can quit early, and it's not like they got kicked out of the league. They can leave on their own terms if they do it right.
Mm-hmm. Look at our very first interview, our very first player interview, way before the rookie interviews, when we sat down with Jarrett Smith. You know, you go back and you look at that interview, we were sitting back with Jarrett Smith, sitting there having drinks, smoking a J, you know, and it was completely different. I'm trying to sit there and pull the story out of Jarrett, of his NFL career, and what I eventually fucking realized was, so long story short, your career kind of became, your career summed up is that you became a regular motherfucker just like me. You're a regular person here now, just like me. You work in a call center like I used to back then, and that's what your life has became. That is now your financial backing. You shouldn't, like I said, you shouldn't be having Marshawn tell you these things. You shouldn't be taking a look at it now. So those are things that you should have been taking care of in the league. You should have been reinvesting your money before. You know, and I seen it, and I saw it firsthand of someone that's the same age as me.
Yep, and I have a good example of someone who lives down the street from me. Moransky was a Raiders lineman, third-round pick, when they were really good in the 70s and 80s. And he went to high school with my dad. He made a little bit of money in the NFL. The first thing he did when he retired was put half of it into x-ray machines. And now every single x-ray in Northeast Ohio is owned by him. And now he has 8 mansions just a quarter mile down the street. And he has like a, literally 5 outdoor pools. And he can splurge because he made so much money with his investments when he retired.
And that's what these guys should be doing, to be honest. Getting into the last and final topic here on the Rum Report. By the way, great way to close out that last segment. We're going to talk about the XFL here a little bit. And actually, we can dabble in talking about the rules as well. Because I know that was something that you were curious about getting discussed. Former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson is going into the XFL and is going to try out for the XFL as a kicker. This news, of course, coming out today, about an hour ago. And I wanted to make sure that we definitely got this segment on this show. Jake, your thoughts, bro.
Didn't he dabble in soccer a little bit in the off seasons?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He did play soccer during the off seasons.
Was that his thing?
Yeah.
I mean, they could use it at this point because the XFL is going to have a hard time taking off because they're starting way too soon after the Super Bowl. It should be 2 weeks after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they're going to have to get these big names early and then figure out if they can get traction with the mainstream core fan base. And from there, they can slowly start. I don't want to say this is a freak show in terms of, oh, can he kick? Can this kicker learn to play receiver in King? But yeah, I mean, they're pulling out all the stops. I think, honestly, why not do it? Because there's literally no kicking in the XFL.
Exactly.
I mean, they're encouraging everyone to go for two. They're getting rid of the kickoff returns. So you might as well just sign a big name if you can.
That's what I'm really trying to find out. And I don't get him trying to try out as a kicker.
You don't kick the ball in the XFL. I don't get it. All you do is punt.
Yeah, you punt. Yeah, so he would literally be brought in just to punt. I don't like it from a positional standpoint. At all. Like, you have a former punter in Marquette King coming out into the XFL as a wide receiver for the Renegades, for the Dallas Renegades. Why the fuck couldn't you just go be a wide receiver somewhere, Ocho? I'm not getting this.
Hey, he's in his 40s, right?
Yeah.
He's a little older. I mean,
I mean, maybe, but here's what I also don't get. You complain about how much you miss football, and you say that you can still go out there and play, yada, yada, yada. This is an opportunity where you can still go out there and play. Put your body on the line, bro. Put your.
I agree. If you really, for sure.
Yeah, like if you really miss the game, like then, and you want to be a part of what the XFL brand is building, like this is definitely purely about Chad Johnson. When is anything not about Chad Johnson's self, about Ocho Cinco's self?
Remember when he was the leading man on Twitter, like 10 years ago?
Yeah, like when Twitter, like
athletes.
Yeah, when Twitter first started, you know, he was like yeah, he was the account that you needed to follow. Because and he was also with Evan Lozada too. Fucking and then that messed up his whole fucking life. Yeah, bro, I remember them days. Like I said, you want to go out there, you want to be a big shot again, go do it.
Yeah.
Yo, JD said aren't still.
Yeah, I like what JD said. He also had a flag football league he started, right? And that went under.
I don't know if the professional flag football league went under. I think the PFFL is still going and going pretty strong, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. To my knowledge, the PFFL is still a thing. I know that Michael Vick had dumped some money into that as well and was helping running it. But yeah, Chad Johnson to the XFL as a kicker, I think, is the stupidest fucking thing, period, because there's no kicking.
I mean, yeah, there's literally just longer field goals and punts that you really don't have incentive to return. And at this point, I don't think he's a good kicker. No offense to him, I don't think he can kick a football that well. Unless he's really been practicing, because I don't think he's ever done it before.
No.
And I remember his extra point. The teams to try to kick and warm-ups before games. He was like a straight line toe kicker. I was like, that's not gonna work. Whatever you were doing then won't work now.
I don't like it. I don't like it for the position. Like I don't like it for the position of kickers and punters.
Yeah.
Like it's a joke. You're making a mockery of a very isolated skill set. And a highly important skill
set.
Yeah,
football players. I don't care what anyone says. Those guys are football players.
Yeah.
That job sucks. If they screw up, if they screw up once, they're fired.
Exactly. They control the most important psychological aspect of the game, which football is an 80% mental sport, 20% physical. I fucking feel bad.
Yeah, there's a good kicker out there that's not going to play. That's what sucks about it.
Yeah.
A kicker that might make the league in 2 years from his performance in the FFL. Ocho Cinco is going to take away from.
100%. 100%. This is awful. This is bad for the NFL. This is bad for the brand of kickers. But it is what the fuck it is. Yep. Now you're just going to have a bunch of kids going out there. Thinking that, hey, you know,
yeah.
Chad is out there kicking him. I can kick it too, and it's just, it could be good for the position. I don't know.
Think, Adam Vinatieri was discovered in NFL Europe. If a joke like this happened, where he never got a chance to go to NFL Europe, no Adam Vinatieri.
Exactly. I could not agree more. But that does wrap up. The very first episode of the Rum Report. Yo, Jake, how are you feeling about episode one?
I like it, man.
Hell yeah. And I
look forward to if you get Jay Love on here for the nerdy draft stuff. That'd be really fun.
That's going to be a completely different thing. That's going to be completely different because that's an actual, like, fucking project that we got to do. Yeah, but, yeah. Me and J-Lo will be getting the scouting all done and set up for the NFL Combine and for, you know, of course, if we got to do rookie interviews again. So, that's going to be fucking lit. Other than that, let the people know what you got coming out next, man.
I'm definitely going to write something about the media day, or maybe lack thereof, for Conor McGregor. I'm looking forward to see if he actually is the Conor McGregor Robbie used to love, brash, arrogant, really confident in his abilities, or he's just talking about how he wants to win the fight, be reserved, and move on. And you could tell he's sold out and does not care about the fighting. I hope he's excited. I hope he's that trash talker. I know you do too.
That's what I'm hoping for too. I'm super excited. You're gonna be doing what, a pre-fight article? I'm sure you'll do like a pre-fight article with like some predictions, and then you'll do a post-fight.
I'm gonna have my picks, and I'm going to have an article about basically what I think about the interactions in the press conference.
Hell yeah.
That's going to tell a whole lot about McGregor, in my opinion. If McGregor goes in there a certain way, I'm very confident that you're going to see how McGregor's going to perform in the fight based on the media.
Absolutely. It is going to depend on how they interact when they're sitting at those tables across from each other and having to let it rip.
If McGregor shakes hands, I give up. He better not shake hands. He's never done it before.
Exactly that.
Shake hands and plays nice. That'd be awful.
And I think that he might, honestly. I think that, like, oh, shit. Like,
that'd be so bad. Like, it's like, enjoy your $6 million. I'll take my $10 million.
Yep, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, we'll see. I'm excited for it. It's going to be going down. You guys can catch Jake Miller's articles on runboys.com. Make sure you all run to runboys.com. Go and check it out. You can literally click, like, you know, UFC, and it'll bring up, like, his stuff, like UFC boxing. I know that you also got Wilder Fury coming up. A lot of crazy stuff is happening this year in the world of combat sports. So, like I said, runboys.com. Check out Jake Miller there. As for myself, at Runboys, spelled with a Z, N-E-T. Once again, that's Runboys, Z, N-E-T. Catch me there on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. You name the social media, I have it. I'm literally every single where. Runboys.com, as well as where you guys can also reach me. Let us know what other topics and stuff that you guys wanted to have us discuss on the Rum Report. Like I said, I'm gonna look to try and do this maybe 2 to 3 times out of the week. Depending on, you know, who all I'm able to get on air with me and at what times. But yeah, I think that's all that I have for now. I think so. Oh, Coach Carousel Part 4 coming. We're going to wrap up that the moves for the Browns with the Stefanski move. And yeah, I appreciate y'all. You ready to end this?
Yep.
Cheers to me. Cheers to you, all the Rum Boys and Girls, what to do. We out of here. Dilly dilly. Thank you.
No problem, brother.
Hell yeah, that was fucking solid.
That was fun, man.
Yeah, we just like took up like an hour.
Yeah, like 5 minute audio crash.
Yeah, it's all good. I'll be able to... Yeah, I edited. See, now that we're done, now your internet's messing up. Can you hear me still?
Oh, yeah, I'm on a hotspot. I'm not expecting it to be great.
No, dude, but not. Yep, it's cutting out your every other word.